Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. When you look back on all of our episodes, when you think back on each and every podcast that we've done,
which I love doing. I'm somebody who definitely...
When you go to sleep, Jeff, are you just like, okay, 275 Trinidad James, 274 and on until you go to sleep?
I'm somebody who can quote every podcast.
Wow.
I do all the voices.
When you think back...
By the way, for anybody who's listening out there, that is not me.
Right.
I don't listen to any of our podcasts.
When you think back to all the podcasts, and I know you remember a lot about the podcasts.
Sure.
When you think about all the people who have come over to our home, who have sat down in this chair between us and talked for an hour, hour and a half, what is the weirdest, strangest, most surprising thing that has happened from a guest?
On mic?
No, not necessarily. Just like we've welcomed them into our home and they have done something out of the ordinary.
Okay. My first thought is that we had somebody come over here and the person used my bathroom.
Right.
And switch the toilet paper roll around.
Okay, so...
So, like, usually it rolls out one way. Rolled it out the other way.
By the way, I do like how you didn't tell the people at home which way you do it, because you might offend, like, half the audience.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
But the point is that, yes, a person did come over.
Wait, should I be brave and tell... I do over the roll.
No.
I do over.
Don't do it, Jeff. Don't do it.
Away from the wall.
Don't do it, Jeff.
The other way is weird.
Someone came over, took the toilet roll, and made it more comfortable for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very strange.
That is the weirdest thing that's happened to me.
I think, well...
I don't know if it's the weirdest thing that's happened on the podcast. Oh, no, you want to know what?
What? That is the weirdest.
Are you going to... I feel like the latest thing is going to top that.
Yeah, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
Another strange thing is when Jim Jones pulled a green apple out of nowhere and ate it on the microphone.
Like a magic trick.
That was strange.
Don't know where he got it from.
I'm trying to think...
It was like in the middle of the conversation. He just started eating a green apple in the microphone. He wasn't even talking in the microphone.
we've had people...
But he ate in the microphone.
Who, ASAP Ferg, Ty Dolla $ign... we've had people who in the middle of the episode are just like, yo, I need to go use the restroom.
I mean, it's a long conversation.
I've actually done
that. Yeah. I've gotten up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People haven't fallen asleep here. Not the guests. We've had some people who have been entourage members.
Yeah, hangers on.
Who have just like tapped out the moment they sit down on the couch.
Snoring.
Yeah, exactly.
Like been like made fun of by people on the mic. We've had people who were also not supposed to be on the mic who were on the mic.
That is true. We've had people who've come here by themselves in a car and then had to leave in the middle and go put money into the meter.
Yeah, that's happened. Not so bad.
But as far as strange things that have happened, I think this might have been the top, would you say?
It's either this one or the toilet paper thing.
Yeah, okay. So we were very excited to have Kevin Gates come over.
Mm-hmm.
And when he stopped by, we had about a half an hour before we even started recording.
Which is a rarity.
Where we just got to hang out and get to know each other.
Oh, by the way, we didn't pad the episode with that.
No.
It's not like we like invited him over and we said, okay, great, we're going to have this half hour. No.
No.
He was just very slow to get in front of the microphone.
He wanted to get himself comfortable and acclimated into the environment.
Which is perfect because when he was coming over, I said to you,
yes,
my brother,
yeah,
I said, hey, let's act like we are in a different country, different culture.
Yeah.
Do not extend your hand.
Yeah, let him lead.
If he wants to shake your hand, he can shake your hand. If he wants to give you eye contact, he can give you eye contact.
Right.
Do not.
Right.
Because we don't know what this dude's energy is like.
You've heard stories. You don't know, you know? And so when I went to go get him and his party, his publicist, who we know very well, walked in. And Chelsea gave me a huge hug. And I was ready to let Kevin just like walk by me and not even acknowledge, you know, that he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what's up, big man? And gave me a huge hug. And I was like, well,
yeah,
we are off to the races. So he comes into the apartment and he walks around and gets to know the place. And we're hanging out with Drika, his wife, and Chelsea, his publicist. And a couple of his guys were just like here and very nice. And when Kevin sat down and he loved our energy. Loved everything that was going on here.
Kept telling us that he loved the apartment.
Said it was fly. He pulled out some floss and went through each and every crevasse in between his teeth and fully flossed right here in front of us because, as he said, he had just had tea and wanted to cleanse
all the diamonds in his mouth.
Exactly.
Because he has diamonds on every tooth.
He has grills beyond belief.
And the other thing is, he didn't just stop there. He did a whole mouthwash routine.
He brushed his teeth and then washed his gums and everything. And you know what? I'm not mad at it. You know, as somebody who goes to the dentist regularly, I appreciate cleaning after every meal.
This wasn't a meal. This was tea.
Kevin had such great energy.
Such good dental hygiene.
And it was a pleasure to sit down with him and listen to his story. And I don't know that we've had anyone as direct as Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised?
How direct he was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that he was very intense.
Well, he's gotten to a place in his life where he wants to not hold back, right? Like, mm-hmm. he feels like being fully transparent with everyone is uplifting for him and freeing for him.
Yeah.
And I think that, coupled with the fact that he is direct,
yeah.
creates a very fascinating experience.
Yeah, like, the only thing I can compare it to is when we interviewed 50 Cent
right.
for Billboard a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know how I'm in this conversation. Like, I don't really even feel like I'm in this conversation. I'm just here. That's how I felt.
Yeah. Well, this was...
But I felt like this was more terrific. Even than the 50 Cent conversation.
Well, I think you're better at your job.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I was not good back then.
No, but...
But yeah, no, 50 Cent, I felt like I was like in, you know, like when an alien spaceship sort of like beams you up?
No. Tell me about this, Jeff. What's your experience here?
Well, okay, so...
Be transparent.
Yeah.
We were explaining to our friend Nick Watkin, who mm-hmm. was the photographer for this episode and a few other episodes that we've had. And we were like, this is something where you steer into it. This isn't, you know, hey, we have our own set agenda here. It's like... We let the guest lead, and Kevin and his energy and his focus and his transparency was the way to go.
Yeah.
So we really enjoyed this episode. I know you guys will too. Kevin is certainly known for his great interviews, and this should rank among them. So shout out to Kevin Gates. Shout out to Drika, his wife. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Chelsea Northern, and shout out to all you guys for listening. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Gerald Ford Trippin, a.k.a. Old School Chef.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Could Have Been Robin Hood, a.k.a. Keep a Fire in My Tuck.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, it's your third favorite podcast. Don't waste time with it. It's the real. Kevin, what's happening? Yo, thanks so much for coming through the Upper West Side. We appreciate you for so many reasons, but your energy has been unlike anybody who's shown up here before. Your energy is A1, and you appreciated our energy, which we love to hear.
Yeah, you thought that our apartment looked like it was $40,000 a month.
Yeah. That's the best thing to hear.
I was going off location because I've been into like real estate lately.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've been looking at fly spots because what speared me into this direction was the European architecture in Amsterdam. I was like, it's not that I'm not into architecture. I'm not into boring architecture. So I like what I like, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I just been looking at it, like looking at stuff like lately, like the artistry of it, the curves. Does the building have bones? Like I'm familiarizing myself with those type of terms.
For sure. Yeah.
I saw that you, after LA, you said that you wanted to move to Europe. Is that still the case? Or is that just like an interview thing that you just...
I'm going to move to Amsterdam.
Oh, is that right?
I'm going to. Well, I'm going to have property there. I'm not going to be able to stay there forever, but I'm going to have a piece of Amsterdam that's going to belong to me.
Yeah.
And Amsterdam, a piece of Kevin Gates is going to belong to Amsterdam. I mean... I leave a piece of me everywhere I go. I mean, Kansas City has a piece of Kevin Gates.
Mm.
Chicago, I mean, any state you name, I mean, I leave a piece of me everywhere I go. I leave with my heart.
So what is it about the vibrations in a place like Amsterdam that really, like, resonated with you?
It's a million different things. I'm Muslim by faith, and... I'm starting to lean more toward positive energy. And I've been to different Muslim countries and I love it. It's beautiful, but it's all Muslims. And I've been to Morocco. You know, that's where my father's from, and it's like it's under Muslim rule, but I noticed like you could go to a synagogue where they got Jews at and pray with them, or they'll come to a mosque and pray with you. So when I got to, I never saw that nowhere else but Morocco. And then when I went to Amsterdam, it was like every religion you could think. I met people that was Buddhists, Hindus, religions I never understood, every culture you could think of, just all coexisting. And whenever I took a picture, people would stop, didn't even know who I was. And then nobody would take a picture of you without asking, could they take a picture of you? And if you was an American, the people over there knew by the way you conducted yourself. But me, people were like, where are you from? And I was like, America. They was like, no way. I was like, why you say that? They was like, you're not rude. You're not arrogant. You're not. So it just speared something else in my mind. Like if I never, it was like the closest to heaven that I'm probably going to ever be.
Wow.
Because it was every race, every religion, and everybody was just, I'm sure they not without their problems.
Sure.
But it was just fly. And everybody there, they were more caring about living and being as opposed to having and gaining. Everybody just wanted to live life. And the, what they told me every time I leave somebody, they'd be like, all right, man, enjoy life. Mm. Enjoy life. That's their biggest thing, enjoy life. And over here, it's like, who got the most drip?
Right.
Who got the most? Who got the most shit? Who has the most anchors that's going to weigh you down emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually? Who has the most anchors?
Well, on your new album, you name drop New York, like right at the top of maybe your second song, right?
Yeah.
What is it about New York that really hits for you?
It's reality. Mm. You could be on the subway and meet millionaires and billionaires that never owned a car. You never know who you're going to sit next to or who you're going to bump into. It's just multicultural. And everybody here, they working. They're in pursuit of a goal. It's no kicking it. It's no relaxation.
So we're from here, right? So this speed feels normal to us. But yeah, from somebody who just visits here, is it really that fast?
Not for me.
Yeah.
Because I've always lived at an accelerated pace. Mm. So New York is the perfect place for a person like me because I have a large collection of songs that I didn't even release yet, not even from this trip, but from trips prior. Like, I got this other song that I recorded in the Coming to America Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The Waldorf, the old
one. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that say she never made love, don't wanna fuck me on the bedroom floor. It's just a vibe that I get every time I come up here. I couldn't stay longer than 2 or 3 months, maybe 2 months at the most,
mm-hmm.
and then leave. Because I don't ever want to wear out my welcome to myself.
Yeah. What is the longest you've stayed here?
A month.
And that was just for?
I was recording and I was doing fake promo because I was missing a lot of that shit on purpose to go to the studio. That's when I ain't give a flying flippity flip about nothing.
So really, you do go to a different city to get something to put you in a zone to record?
Every city got different energy. I'm an energy person. I like the energy. I want to feel it. I can't be around the same energy every day, all day. And that's okay. It's okay to be that way.
For sure.
I'm just now accepting it. Accepting myself.
So when you were forced to be in a space, a confined space.
I was never forced. It's just sometimes we do things out of obligation. Sometimes we feel like because somebody gave us a kind gesture, we have to obligate our whole state of existence to them because somebody was kind to us. And that's something that I would do in the streets. When you in the streets, that's what it is. Like, so many people kick you in your ass. So when you find that one person that show you love, you like a wounded dog.
Mm.
So, like, you ever seen the movie White Fang with the wolf?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was about this wolf. They used to use him in dog fighting. He was a wounded animal. This little dude, a little white dude, went and found the wolf and nursed him back to health. And he became better and stronger than what he was in the beginning. And he was gave his whole life to his new owner or his new friend. And it's like that when you're in the streets. And I had to get out of that mindset, because a person could do something beautiful for you and you can accept it as is. You don't have to pledge your whole life to that person,
right,
or to those people, because nobody's perfect.
Well, I mean, did that happen to you as a kid? Like, yeah. I mean, like, so who was showing you love as a kid?
Nobody. It was fake.
But you thought it was real at the time, though.
I hate to say that. I hate to say that, because me and my family, we're healing right now from a lot of things that went on in the past. So I'm not really going to go into detail with that. But I'm not talking about in my household. I'm talking about in the streets.
Right.
You know, when you grow up in an impoverished environment, it's nobody really there. Not that they abandoning you, but they busy, they working, they gotta do this to provide for this household, because we come from very poor, very humble beginnings. So it wasn't that my mother was neglecting me, or she had to do what she had to do. My grandmother had to do what she had to do. So the allotment of time wasn't there that is required to guide, because you never raise a child. You only guide them through life, because it's a journey. So that's really where I'm at with it. And y'all feel free to cut me off at any time.
Oh, no. Thank you for sharing. I think that, and this is a conversation that we've had amongst friends actually very recently.
Yeah, today.
Do you feel like most people are fake?
Because I feel like inherently people are not fake. I feel like most people are...
And that's not to say that, like, we don't look for the good in people, right? But are most people out there...
Most people?
Most people.
I'll say this. This is what I'm going to say. Everyone has a way to be manipulative in nature to survive. These are survival tactics. Like right now, we're in a concrete jungle. So the survival tactics would be different as opposed to somebody living on a rural island. It may be psychological. It may be emotional. It may be spiritual in a business setting. And I notice a lot of people, they play to relativity. I don't give a damn if we don't have nothing in common. I could give a fuck less. Can I use profanity?
Of course. Yeah. Oh, use more. Yeah, yeah.
Nah, but I'm saying forgive me, because I'm not sorry. But I was saying, I don't give a fuck less if we don't have any relativity. I don't play towards relativity. I don't play up relativity. I don't care about that. But I do believe that the heart of man and the heart of human beings wants to be good. Nobody chooses evil because it's evil. They simply mistake it for happiness. And that's just the best actors get the best parts. I'll say that. But I can't live like that. I can't live like that. I can't.
Did you ever think that because you can't act like that, that you wouldn't be able to succeed in a business where everyone does act like that, and that's accepted and celebrated?
I can't say that, because it's like everybody love me. They tell me, like, the best things you could say about somebody, people tell me. They say you intelligent, you funny, you serious, and you real. Them the four things people have been telling me since I've been keeping accountability. People been telling me them four things lately. They like, man, you intelligent, you funny, you serious, and you real.
That's the thing that people are afraid of. And that's the real one.
That's what they tell me. And it's just, I take that as the biggest compliment. People used to be like, man, Kevin, you the realest. No. I was the realest at that point, because it was certain things that I wouldn't say. Now, I've been speaking more about myself, like self-reflection, and it's been freeing for me. Like I just did a billboard. I went up there and told them I'm so nervous right now. Like, I'm nervous, I'm shy. And they was like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm shy. I'm nervous, because as soon as you said it was live, it's like, I can imagine a million people just judging me. Nobody wants to make a mistake in front of the judge.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And also, I mean, like, you are a person who, and you've talked about this very openly, you grew up not feeling like you were special, you know, not feeling like, and so, I mean, like, you still feel that way.
Yeah.
Even though Draco puts, like, a battery in your back.
Yeah, she charged me a lot of times and tell me I'm amazing, but it's kind of hard coming from her, because she's so fucking perfect. So I be feeling like you know, my inner critic, the critic on the inside, make me feel like, well, you just saying that to cheer me up, bitch. Bitch, you don't even fart. You know what I'm saying? Like, bitch, you know, bitch, when you shit and you piss is perfect. You know what I'm saying? Everything about you, perfect.
I love that. Like 30 seconds ago, you were like, is it okay to curse?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So when you're growing up and you don't have the people around you to big you up and make you feel good, what did make you feel good?
Instant gratification. That's what makes everybody feel good. That's why people go on Instagram. They give you a small piece of instant gratification and then they hold everything back to keep you coming back for more.
So there was nothing that you like worked on that maybe like took a little time that ultimately when it paid off felt even better?
I was unaware that that's what I was doing it for. I've always had a love for music.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And I always knew that I was great at making music.
You knew that yourself.
Yeah, but I was afraid to let people hear the music.
Mm. When was the first time you performed? And I don't mean like original music. Yeah.
In front of people?
Yeah.
I was maybe about 17, 18, and I forgot all the words. I knew the song. I've sung the song on the way to the venue. And then when I got on stage, I choked.
Knees weak, arms are heavy.
Yeah. Well, what was the reaction?
They was vibing with me at first, and then I just jumped in the crowd. Just, I'm a monster. Just out of fear.
Yeah.
I plexed, like most men do. Like, out of fear, they become aggressive.
Mm.
Out of fear. You're not really like this. You're doing this out of fear. And that's what I did. Out of fear, I became aggressive and jumped in the crowd and was a monster, long dreadlocks and all that. But, you know, that was an immature me where I thought that, well, it's kind of like the boxing perspective. It's like you run to your fear and not away from it.
Mm.
But sometimes moving backwards is moving forwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I apply that to life. But you have to apply it to life in the proper perspective.
Sure. So you may have been interested in music growing up, but you weren't necessarily like putting it out there.
It was my diary more so. It was something that I do. I go cut on a... I wrote to that Queensbridge. I forgot the song, but that song when Nas say, fuck the cash, the ice, Ferraris with 220 on the dash when your life ain't right. Stay to myself. What do you say? Follow my, he say, I trust myself. I can't fuck myself. When friends leave and no weed, I still know me. Just myself. Stay to myself. One deep, pray to my God. Cause he say, when it's hard, get on one knee. And ask die for forgiveness. I forgot. I'm saying it wrong, but that song, I had wrote to that. And I just started. That's one of them that I remember I wrote to. But I've been.
Who put you on to Nas?
I forgot. I just liked, a good friend of mine, his name is Brandon. I got a brother named Brandon, but this guy, his name is Brandon also. And his mother and my mother was childhood friends, so you know how that go.
You get this music into your life and you write to it, and was there any thought that you could like record it?
It took me somewhere else. I always liked that New York swag.
Yeah.
I mean, like a lot of people probably don't remember this, but they had that song it's like they was always teams. They whole team was balling. It was like that Ram squad that I see nothing but ballers up in here. I see nothing but gangsters up in here. And it's like they was talking about that dope shit, and I was around them but D-boys doing that shit. So that's why I liked it, that New York shit. Them dudes always was talking about some hustling and shit. And I ain't really dick riding and saying that because I'm up here, because I don't be reaching out and fucking with niggas when I'm up here. Fred DeGarson, that's like my brother. Mano, that's my brother, because when I met them dudes, when I was nobody, they didn't act pussy with me.
Mm. Jim Jones.
He never acted pussy with me.
Yep.
You know, and that's one thing I could say about them dudes, and I respect them to this day.
Jim Jones met you super early.
Yeah, when I was, my name was ringing down south, but he didn't even know who I was. He just met me through a friend. He was like, man, you come up here by yourself. I'm like, I go everywhere by myself.
And so he looked out for you ever since?
Looked out for me?
Yeah.
No, we always had a relationship, like, as my, like a big brother, because I always liked it, this dude. This dude always was a fly nigga that I could relate to, because Like, most of the time when you see niggas that's fly getting money, it be like, you know, I never saw myself in the picture. So when I see individuals that look like me that's fly getting money, I like it. And he was honest. He said, I never said that I was so-so with it. I was so-so with it. Mm. I like that. Because mm-hmm. there's always somebody bigger.
Yeah.
He was with that fly shit. You can say what you want to. Yeah, you got all the money, but you boring, bitch. I'm fly and I can fuck your bitch if I want to. I'm living like that. That's the swag that he got.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about him.
Did you listen to Dipset growing up?
Yeah, yeah. That's my shit. Yeah. Like the old Joel Santana, like mm-hmm. I move like Muslims and move with movements of people. We'll move with our people and move on your people. I liked it that come home with me, all that camera on and shit.
Oh man.
But my favorite was Biggie, because he talked that real dope talk, and I love the way that he take that breath.
Yeah.
See, I was on Biggie and Juvenile Detention. Mm. I said this on a DJ Who Kid interview. My favorite was that niggas bleed, that Today's Agenda got the suitcase up in the Central. But you know how it be a song? Well, when you go to prison, it's always a song in your mind that give you that confidence, that energy. I don't know about y'all, but for me, like when I walk into a room or something, you might need that song that just, you might be a little nervous. You know, you're going to be nervous, man. This a medium max. This a maximum security joint. So niggas bleed just like us. You hearing about the violence that's going on in this bitch, but you know you heavy metal, but you don't know. You hearing all these fucked up stories, but you know you heavy metal, but you might need to play that little song in your mind to make yourself remember that you really that gun smoke out here. So that was one of them. And then they got a dude from my neighborhood. His name Big Head the Dome Doctor. He like a local rapper, but he was really doing that shit in the streets. So he was like a neighborhood hero to me.
Mm.
Like Soulja Slim was like a hero to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to listen to the people that's talking about how I'm living.
In that moment when you're growing up and you're living far from New York, far from LA, even far from Atlanta, did a music career like seem possible?
I'm going to tell you something that I never told nobody. I'm going to tell y'all. I ran from the music career. I knew this was what I was supposed to do. I sabotaged my own career because I was afraid of greatness. This is my first time saying this. I did shit. I put myself in fucked up situations. And I told myself that I'm going to fuck with that rap shit, but right now I got to do this. And I didn't really, it was jumping. All I had to do was stick with that rap shit and I could have been out of here. But I wanted to play in the streets. Because I liked that instant gratification that came with hood fame. I love it. I still love it. I just went to D.C. and shot a video. No security guards. The slums. I went to Saratoga. I'm going to keep it gangsta. I went from northeast to southeast. No security. I'm a real big speaker. I'm talking about I'm down there. All the generals. I made a call. I said, I want all the generals at my video shoot. I want all the top lieutenants and the generals at my video shoot. Please be on your best behavior. Mm-hmm. And I mean that. And I love that. I got to get out of that mindset. But I love that shit because I know one thing. Show me another rapper that could do it. Show me one. And I respect him. By yourself. Not with your army, not with your gang, you and your bitch by yourself. Show me, and I'ma respect it.
Did you used to run around with like a big crew, or was it always just you and Drika?
It's always been me and Drika. I come as I am. I am as I come. I come as I leave. Upright, independent, and fearless.
Mm-hmm.
I move federal though. I really move federal. I move with a different level of respect. I'm going to tell a man, yes, sir, no, sir. And I ain't going to lie. If you do violate, you're going to have to really need a reason. I'm not going to give you a reason to violate. But if you do, God, I know this is going to sound crazy. Please forgive me for what I'm about to say. I know that if somebody disrespect me doing a life sentence, I could never see my children again. I could never be successful in music and do what I love. But I'm going to be honest with you. The worst thing a man could be is a coward to his own self. That's why I don't put myself in situations that could end up volatile. Because I'm a dad. Mm. My respect means everything to me. I'm not a rat. I'm not. I'm a dad before I beat it. I'm going to do a life sentence before I beat it. That means something to me. I mean, maybe it's a fucked up way of thinking. It may be foolish pride. Like if somebody, I can't think of what somebody would have to do me to make me get out of my character, because like sometimes, like I use this as an example. All right, J and E.
Yeah.
All right.
All we need is a W.
I'm the king of the board. I'm the shot caller.
Mm-hmm.
You my bishop. All right. Jay coming up and ranking this rap game. He about to start stepping on my toes. This shit just like hustling. I done already extended my hand to him. He don't want to fuck with me. He don't want to sign to me, whatever. He just booming. I could just get you to make the sacrifice and go disrespect him, because I know he a real man. I know he going to stand on principle. I know if you play with him, I know he going to go. So I could send you at him and get him to crash out. He got himself out the way for me. I tricked him out of his position. And you made the sacrifice for me. So I'm knowledgeable enough to see when it's that type of play. I'm knowledgeable enough because I'm penitentiary. Like, that's the beautiful thing about prison. I've been doing it so much to that street shit. It's like, it's nothing to me. I know how to control the gutter. I don't know how to control the gutter. I know how to work up under the gutter. Because it's a difference in being in the hood and being in the streets. And I know we veered off topic, but they got people that you lived in a bad neighborhood. You ain't contribute to the bad that was going on in the bad neighborhood. You wasn't up under the gutter. You just knew some of the players. You wasn't in the game. You know what I'm saying? I was in the game.
When's the last time you were surprised?
Man, I'm always surprised. I'm surprised right now. I ain't think we was going to be talking about all this shit. I don't like talking about this kind of shit, but it's interesting to y'all.
Yeah.
So I don't mind.
We want to find out how that guy who self-sabotaged, who didn't see it for himself in the music industry, got to this point. So if you're living back home.
You know my driving force every day?
Tell me.
I need to go piss. You know my driving force every day?
What's that?
I would hate to sit back and wonder, where would I have been if I only would have tried? I would die. I would hate that moment. That's a realization and a reality that I never want.
Hey, gang. While Kevin goes to use my restroom and hopefully does not switch the toilet paper roll around. Wait, maybe he's going to floss. Is that possible? Why would he be flossing twice within like...
Jeff, he flossed after he had tea, so, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I you know what? I don't know anything about anything anymore.
Well, what do you know?
I do know that you should go get a t-shirt today, right here, right now, at itsthero.com/shop. We've got t-shirts available. You should go buy a t-shirt. That's what they're there for.
They're very comfortable. They're very well designed. And hey, if you guys love this podcast and love the fact that we've done 275 other ones, this is the way to keep this ship afloat. Go to itsthereal.com/shop right now. Buy a t-shirt. Represent for us. Spread the word. And let's get more episodes like this one here with Kevin Gates, thanks to you guys.
Yes.
All right. itsthereal.com/shop. And now back to Kevin Gates. You're back home, self-sabotaging, not even seeing it for yourself, right?
Right.
But you have that driving force, like you said. You're like, listen, I'm not going to leave this on the table. I'm going to, you know, take this gift and run with it.
It was fear. I always had it in me, but I was afraid to apply myself.
Afraid to apply yourself and then afraid to not make it happen.
Yeah, so it was like I was always in the middle.
So who's the first person to really, like, come into your life to see that gift that you have,
push you in that direction?
Yeah. Or was it yourself?
Nah, Dreeko. Dreeko. A lot of other people tried to get me to do it, but Dreeko really made me say, let's do it. And she went so far as to try to make it happen without me knowing, like taking it to DJs, taking it. I had a fear of getting on stage. I had a fear of letting the world hear my music. I was afraid.
So you're recording the music.
I'm recording.
You're holding it.
Making beautiful music. Making great songs.
And the world could have never heard it.
I was afraid to present it.
Talk about the first time you played it for Drico.
I got them bricks, but I was scared to sell them.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
metaphorically speaking.
Yeah. Where did you first record?
At my grandmother's house on Cool Edit Pro.
Whoa.
I used to make CDs. I used to get the beat off the internet off LimeWire.
Yeah, yeah.
Napster or some shit.
Yeah.
I get the instrumental downloaded and put it on Cool Edit Pro and rap.
So you had a microphone in the corner or something like that, or buy like some...
With some mattresses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was just you, or did you have anybody like who was there at the same time?
I had to figure it out.
So you engineered your own shit?
Yeah, and I really want to learn how to work Pro Tools. Excuse me. I'm going to learn how to work Pro Tools because I know that people think they hearing something incredible right now. And it's crazy that I saw this microphone because I think I saw a Y-Clip or something just like this. I can get a little small setup like this on my bus and just practice recording myself.
Yeah.
Until I get good enough to get off tour.
Hell, you can pay us literally anything and we will do that for
you.
That's
right. Yeah, exactly right.
It's going to be different when I do it myself.
Yeah.
I got a travel studio. I got over maybe over $100,000 in travel equipment right now. I got the Neve. I got the Avalon. I got the fake Neve. I got the real Neve.
Yeah.
And I got the Neve replica thing. I got everything you can get. I got the Telefunken mic, the one that costs, what is $25,000?
Man.
I got the...
That's almost as much as our rent here, you know.
Sony. Yeah. I got the Sony C700 that costs
$10,000. Man.
I got the TM-103, the Neumann.
I thought you were talking about the
Jeezy album.
The Jeezy album,
yeah. The what? You said TM-103. We were like, oh, yeah, Jeezy's album, yeah.
No, sir. I got that. I got the Neumann U83, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
I got that one, too. I got some shit.
You're recording this stuff. Drika gets it, services it to DJs, and you don't even know.
Well, she was doing it, and unbeknownst to myself, and then I had got with some local, what you call like a local record label? Remember how Cash Money was?
Yeah, sure.
I had got with this local record label, and we was like family, you know. And
was it the same type of setup where you had like the executives, and then they had a little roster?
Yeah, something like that. And I got with a local record label, and you know, I was over there a few years. I don't know. I ended up going to prison, and then me and Drake was like, man, let's just do it on our own. And that's when the universe opened up.
So what's the first song that you, like, were super comfortable with the world hearing?
I was never comfortable with the world hearing anything. The songs that they liked were songs that I would never have picked.
Are you still surprised to this day when people like certain things?
Yes, I'm still surprised. The songs that I like, that I put my heart in, I would never think they would like, but people love... Perfect Imperfections. I cried making that song.
Wow.
That's Drika's favorite. That's Drika's favorite. Or at least you said in an interview.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna speak for you.
Yeah.
Drika said it was her favorite.
It wasn't that. I was being vulnerable. I was letting everything out. And I think that's why I started winning. Well, this is what happened. Me and her was in the car one night passing by a club. Everybody in the world at the club. And I'm like, what the fuck? My music way better than them dudes. I'm really in the streets. I'm really going to jail. I'm really slanging iron. I'm really doing this shit. I'll really be doing them things. What do you see in them that you don't see in me? And I went to the song. I went to the studio. I was mad at God. And I made the song. And I said, maybe I'm to blame. I say, how do I forgive and my heart still you angry? How you supposed to love when your heart filled with hatred? Maybe I'm to blame or I wasn't made to make it. Or you look at me the same as you look at Satan. I was just talking to God. And it just was, you know, everybody loved it. That's when I just started. From that point on, whatever I was feeling, let's go. I'm going to die for whatever come with it.
When did you first realize that your voice had power?
I never realized it until I was deprived of listening to myself. And then I went back and listened to my music. I was like, damn. Mm. I like Kevin Gates. I'm a fan. Like, I can listen at Luca Brasi 3 now.
Yeah.
I can't listen to I'm Him right now because I just released it. Once I make another project, I'll be able to. I can appreciate Luca Bryson 3. I'm like, man, that bitch a classic.
Yeah.
That bitch a classic.
I mean, you still got to perform I'm Him songs on the new tour coming up, but
yeah.
Yeah,
but like, I'll be able to appreciate this once I put out another project. I look back and be like, man, that's a classic.
So what was it about Luca Brasi that really spoke to you? Like the character from
which one?
From Godfather.
Because he was like me. He was in, he
a soldier?
He was of service. It ain't that. Like, he had the opportunity to move up in rank. Shit, you don't see assassins that's that old in the game. Like, he had the opportunity to move in rank, but he took pride in service of others. Mm. I have served and I'm of service. And that's just me. I take pride in charity. I take pride in service. I stay the muscle. Man, you don't think I could be the, you don't think I could be the, you don't think I could be the crown prince right now? Hmm. I chose to be to remain a general. I chose that because I'm active duty. Mm-hmm.
So when you're down,
I'm on the line with the soldiers.
When you're down in D.C. and you're amongst all the other generals, there's a mutual respect there.
Yeah, only the generals gonna understand. Mm. Only the generals.
You speak a certain language.
Yes, sir. We have a different type of verbiage that we use, but only the generals understand. And that's even in New York. I just ain't put the call in to my foreign affairs administrators. Mm-hmm. But if I put the call in, hey. I pack the street out there right now. Mm.
So,
but I don't do that because I feel like with great power comes great responsibility, and I don't utilize my power in a negative way.
Do you feel like your body of work is mostly meant to uplift people?
If people find upliftment from me telling my story, but it's really upliftment for me because I'm freeing myself of all this negativity and. Like, I'm a hoarder, so I hoard emotions, and I'm releasing it now.
But do you feel like you're more honest in your songs or, like, in speaking just regularly?
I think I'm more honest with myself. It ain't got nothing to do with the music because that's just an extension of me, and you got to ask the right question to get the right answer, so...
Fuck.
So, I believe that I'm just more honest about things that I wouldn't have spoken about for fear of how people would have perceived it. That's what I'm going to say now.
Yeah, I feel like Styles, who we're friendly with, I feel like he sort of like thinks the same way, where it's like, I can't say this stuff in real life, and so I'll put it in song.
Oh, it depends on what subject matter that I'm speaking on. Like, it depends. I mean, through art, you're protected by the First Amendment with art. Mm-hmm. So it was artistic in nature. Although I've been seeing a lot of rappers, their music has been used in the persuasion of verdicts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but like I say, I already know what I am. I was born to lose, but I was bred to win, and I could stand on that fact. Like, if I'm in a room with a bunch of billionaires, like, I don't feel intimidated. I'm the most interesting person in the fucking universe. You're blessed to be in my presence because you can't do what I can do.
See, but that's what's so crazy, that it's at odds with you not feeling like you are that person. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have this thing where you're like, I am confident in myself, but you're also the same person who's like, I'm not confident in myself. And maybe that's just everybody, but I feel like it's especially with you.
I'm the only,
like,
one who displayed it, but the position that I'm in, I earned it. Mm. Like, I got the scars and everything. I've earned it. I've earned this position. When you saw Leonidas, the way he stand and the way he move, that come from being constantly tested. When you saw, I said Leonidas, didn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way he moved came from being tested. Everybody was celebrating about a small battle. But they say one of us kept his Spartan reserve. He been through it. Body language is the loudest language. Them dudes ain't been through it. And they reek of that. They reek of that. They haven't been through that. Now, I can learn from them because they have finessed their way and manipulated their way in the business realm. Survival tactics. They had to survive to get in position. I respect it, but I lead with my heart.
Fear was a big driver and crippled
Still
you.
Is.
Sure. But it had to have lessened a certain degree, right? Like you became more comfortable on a stage.
Yeah,
you became more comfortable when you heard your records out. So what is the point in your career when you're like, I get what I'm doing and I'm good at it?
Well, I'm in the process of taking over the world. So it's uncharted territory for me because I'm doing it my way. So like a rabbit, like a bunny rabbit, like you see them everywhere. They're not afraid to go anywhere. They enjoy everywhere they go, but they still move with precaution. And that's even the predators. Like mountain lions only come out at nighttime, opposite of people. So even though he's dominant, even though he has the ability to be dominant, he's still humble in nature. He only take what he need. Mm. And that's just the way I look at it. Like, I don't look at it like I want to walk in the room and dominate anymore. I want to be coexisting. I'm really just talking to y'all because I'm supposed to be here to talk. But other than that, I sit there with my headphones in. Nah. And that's how I've been playing the game lately. And when I say the game, like life.
Yeah.
Because I don't really care what a person say. Because words are deceptive in nature. I don't really care what I see because that's only half of the picture. And energy never lies.
Mm.
How did the situation make me feel? It didn't last. So I could just listen to my music.
Was there a satisfaction to get to a level where, you know, Cash Money was fucking with you? Or was there satisfaction to come from doing a partnership with an Atlantic Records later on? Like, what gives you that
you
idea?
You don't realize it right when it's happening. It's like later on, when you look back, you be like, man, I climbed about the gutter. Like, sometimes I have epiphanies. I look in the mirror and be like, man, I'm that nigga I always wanted to be. I got all the tattoos. I got diamonds in my mouth. I'm a gangster. I'm not gonna walk up to Khloe Kardashian right now. Man, how you doing? You beautiful. And walk off. I don't even want to fuck you. I just want to tell you that. Yeah, what? I'm a gangster. I can walk up and tell you that in front of your nigga. What you going to say? You going to respect it. And I don't mean it to be arrogant, though, but I could do that right now if I wanted to. Like, I'm that nigga. Like, and then some days, I'll be like, I don't know if I'm good enough. I feel fat. I don't know. Shit, it's a constant battle, but I have epiphanies every now and then. You know when you can't tell me shit? After I finish a workout. God, I'm the Cat's pajamas after that.
So that's become a big part of your life, working out.
Listen, I don't feel like... People be like, I'm glad you stopped doing drugs. I didn't stop doing drugs. I found a better drug than the drug I was doing. I don't believe in rehab. That's for quitters. I just found a better drug.
What, the adrenaline?
It's something about working out that just make you feel good. I can't explain. It take for that moment that you going hard, killing yourself, everything go away.
Mm.
And you don't even see the results that same day. You ain't going to see the results till a month later.
But which is not the instant satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's different because I guess that go back. I'm so different when it comes to metaphors. That's like with cooking. I like to cook on the stove. I don't like to cook in the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm cooking dope, I like to cook dope on the stove, not the microwave.
Right.
If I go in a gym, I don't want to go have surgery and have microwave results. I want to work for mine so you really know I'm that heavy metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this really that pressure. This ain't that other shit.
Well, but also, like, besides like the fact that you see physical results, right?
I don't see them, but I can see that my clothes fit better.
Yeah, but I mean, but there's an emotional thing to it. Like, I know that, like, when I had some anxiety issues last year, like, going outside cures anxiety in a real way.
Yes,
working
Lord.
Out
yes.
cures anxiety in a real way. And so I think that for you, because I've seen different things that you've been doing.
Hey, Chelsea, I swear I ain't mean nothing bad about that walk up the club Kardashian shit. It just came out. I just was showing them what my confidence was at times. Like, no disrespect to her.
Yeah.
But I just was saying, like, if you was with a guy that was, like, 8 feet tall.
You have that same.
I'll walk up to you and tell you, hey, you're beautiful. I don't want your number. But I just want to tell you that you're beautiful and walk off.
That's that confidence. Yeah.
What is he going to tell me? What? Look at me. Like, that's just how I feel some days. Then some days I feel insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Like some days I feel fat. I don't know.
Mm.
I just like her because she got that revenge body shit.
Yeah.
And I be feeling like I got a revenge body. Yeah. Everybody that ever talked about me made me feel.
Yeah. Did anybody ever like say things to you?
What?
Or is that just like internalized?
Man, no. No. All my life.
Mm.
Everybody who ever said negative shit about me, bitch, I got a revenge body for your pussy ass. Come on, let's do it.
You got that chip on your shoulder.
No.
Mm.
It's like I'm better, and I get high off knowing that I'm better than the negative connotations and stigmatisms that was placed on me. I'm better than that shit. Yeah, all that's just talk. That's idle chatter. But when you see me, yeah, you know, first impression, hey, just make your next move be your best move.
Mm. Was it hard to have a positive attitude when you were locked up?
No. That was the most freeing time ever.
Why is that?
I'm already a monster. That's home for me. It's nothing. I already know the makings, the mechanics of it. You had to say something that's alien to me. I've been doing that since I was a juvenile. The most chaotic prison systems are juvenile detention systems, not adult jail. That's structured.
Yeah.
You know how it's going to go.
Yeah. Mano told us a similar thing.
That's structured.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did juvenile time. I did where it's fight every day, all day, stabbings. Shit fights, piss fight. I did all that already. Mm-hmm. I know how to do it. That's nothing. But in adult, when you up in rank, the consequences are way more severe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what happened in Vegas, stay in Vegas. You know what happened in jail, stay in jail. I don't do that come to the streets and expose people and all that. But I'm going to say this. Who you are, it's going to come out.
You are a practicing Muslim now.
I've been Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't. And I can't even say I'm a practicing Muslim because I still do things that other Muslims will frown upon. But I just love what I love about Islam is not growing a big beard and walking around with a thobe and all that. That don't make you Muslim.
Right.
It's about the intentions of the heart. That's what I love about Islam. And since I've been, I guess, adhering or subscribing to making sure the intentions of my heart was in the right place, that's true Islam to me. And my life, I have seen a remarkable difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Since that, implementing that. But as far as being Muslim, they got people tell me, hey, that's haram, you have tattoos, you're not supposed to do that. And hey, okay.
Yeah, but everybody falls short of whatever belief system they supposedly subscribe to, right? Like,
it's like rehab. Our religions work if you work it.
Sure. But on a purely cosmetic level, you do have a cross tattooed on your forehead.
Nah, that's not a cross. I won't speak on what it is, but it's a soldier sign. It's a compass, like north, south, east, west. And it's to be earned, not given. But I can't really speak on what it is.
It looks like it's fading.
Yeah, I'm getting it removed.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
I don't like it because it scares people. It's menacing. And I really didn't like the way that it came out. I did it, but I don't like the way it came out. So I've been getting it removed.
And how long has that process been?
It really would have been gone probably by now, but I've been
slacking.
I've been slacking. Man, fuck going over there and get that. I'm going to the gym.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different kind of pain.
No, I have a high tolerance for pain. I have tattoos everywhere.
Are there any other tattoos that you're not really thrilled with?
Nah, everything else I meant.
Mm. Everything is spelled right. No, like, typos.
Yeah, everything's spelled right. Everything.
And it now, all has meaning.
Now, I had one, like, I got one, welcome to Puerto Rico on my back, and one day it said Rito, because he didn't put the curve for the C, but then he went back and put the curve for the C, so now I say Puerto Rico. Nice.
I'm glad that that's fixed.
Yeah.
And even if it wasn't, guess what? I don't care. It looks pretty fucking awesome to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a pride for you to have connection to Cash Money, being that that was your home state and they were such a huge, huge part of the music culture?
I learned a lot from those guys. I learned a lot from being around those guys.
You think they learned stuff from you too?
Of course. Mm-hmm. They still learning from me. Mm-hmm. The world's learning from me right now. Mm. I came out and I've been myself. No gimmicks. No nothing. Like, me is all I have to offer.
Do you hear other people's music and hear your influence in it?
Everything that's been coming out lately. Mm-hmm. Nobody was showing vulnerability and expressing that. And it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I don't sit there and say, man, I started that. They still.
Yeah, these are my sons. Yeah.
You're not my son. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be my son. But I'm a proud father, and I want you to go farther. Mm. Yeah.
So,
Ate Chinese Secrets.
How did Atlantic Records come into your life?
They got this guy named Brian Johnston. I used to fight with him every day because he knew that I was better than what I was given.
And you didn't see it in yourself.
And I ain't see it in myself. And we used to fight every day. And he the one who signed me. And I wasn't going to even fuck with Atlantic. But when I got there, they said everything that I wanted to hear.
Like what?
We look for artists with their own brand. We don't really care about doing an artist deal. We'd rather do a label deal. I'm like, what? My phone. Bitch might be tough.
So you did a partnership with them?
Yeah, I did a partnership with them. And I'm really not looking to go nowhere because I love my situation. Because it's like I'm in college. I'm learning more and more. It's hands on. I wanted to sign for $40,000, but I couldn't. So I signed for, I think, $200,000. They made me take $100,000
up front.
It may not have been that. What was it? It wasn't. Yeah, $100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I signed for $100,000, and I only received $80,000 of that. Mm. And because my manager at the time, he had got like $20,000 out of it, and lawyer fees and shit for the facilitation of it. But I'm glad that I didn't get no millions and millions, because I was already a millionaire when I went over there. Mm. But what was so beautiful about it was, it's college. I'm learning. And I've become a way greater artist. I went in there with the proper mindset. I want to do this for myself one day. And I'm still like, that's like, when I get out my contract, I'm just going to re-sign the bitch. Mm-hmm. The only terms I'll probably change is I want to be able to clear myself. Fuck it. Mm. What?
Your message, your methods can work for other artists, you believe?
No.
Okay.
It's not going to work for everybody has to take their own journey. Yeah, there's no cheat code to this shit. I've been doing this shit 16 years. If you want to go fast, you won't last. The slower you go, the further you get. The turtle always wins the race. Mm-hmm. Slow and steady, baby. Mm-hmm. This bitch heavy, baby.
What was your first car?
Legitimately or illegitimately?
Either one. Now I'm interested in the illegitimate one.
Yeah.
A Camaro.
Oh, all right.
A Camaro.
Yeah, I saw a clip of you. I guess you must have been like 18, maybe. You had dreads. You were getting into like a Benz
or
something.
17. That was illegitimate.
Mm.
I had all kind of shit. That shit don't count.
What did it mean to get your first car like legitimately?
Like, it's blessed. Anything, that shit, it is blessed. Everything that I got from a negative lifestyle that I didn't get the right way, I don't have anymore. I was always getting, but I never had. Like, when I was robbing, I used to be a jack boy. I hate to say this. But I used to rob, like, not people, but I can't believe I'm saying this to y'all. I used to rob, like, convenience stores and shit like that. So I left the juvenile. I didn't go to jail for this, but I left the juvenile facility I was in. I got accepted into a boot camp, and I went to the boot camp. And that's when I learned discipline and structure, and it just speared me in a different direction, a different mindset. And I said, you know what? I'm not stealing no more. I want to hustle for mine. I'm going to hustle hard for it. Because everybody love dealing with me. Because they know when you deal with me, you know you're dealing with a dealer. So anyway, Long story short, I have a brother tattooed on my arm. He came to me and told me to go with him. And he came and got a rod from me. He came and got a rod. And I knew that was the last time I was going to ever see him again. Well, really, I didn't know then. But he was in the room. He like, man, you ain't going to come with me, man. I got one. I'm talking about I got one put together. I'm talking about we going to go in there. I'm talking about I got one for us right now. But when I walked to the front door and looked who was in the car with him, I knew that was my last time seeing my older brother again forever. Mm. I knew it. I knew he was gone. I knew he was dead before. No one had to tell me. Because it was a death mission. Look who you're around. They not even cut like that for real. You don't take... Like on Muhammad Ali, the movie, say you don't marry this girl. You have fun with this girl. Hey, you go to the park and play basketball with those guys. You don't do this kind of stuff with those guys.
You look back and think, I missed out on a death sentence right there?
No, because I knew what it was. I always been gifted. I always been gifted.
So no matter what the circumstances were.
And I'm like the Rain Man. I just know. I knew not to fuck with that. It's certain situations I know not to fuck with. Mm. It's certain niggas I meet I know not to fuck with them.
You lived your journey, right? Like, and
no,
all these things.
I'm living my journey.
And you're living your journey right now. But all these things, all these little things have built on each other and gotten you to this place here today, right? They made you into who you are.
I'm becoming a great man.
For sure. Been a great man, getting greater.
Trying.
You... In a vulnerable state, can put your message out there, the life that you've lived, the lessons you've learned, into song, and that goes to a radio station, it goes to streaming sites, and gets out there, and people hear them, and they take inspiration
but they
take inspiration from the life you lived.
Yes, sir.
Does that come as a surprise to you, and do you get anything from that?
It does. People walk up to me crying sometimes. Grown men, man, you changed my life.
And you're just telling your story.
What?
Yeah.
People tell me that all the time. I wanted to kill myself. Yeah, you and me both. You and me both.
That has to feel gratifying on some level, right? You've changed lives. And more than just your own.
I don't know how it feels because I don't really give it much thought. Hey, I can say this. I'm so gifted that even in a room full of people at times, I feel alone. And it's not that I overthink things and I'm excessively analytical. It's just that it's like I'm in my own world. And I'm starting to understand that the world is a different place than how it goes on the way that I want it to be. So that's why I said on the icebox, this is my first time really, it's no getting used to living a human life. That's why I need to come out with my mixtape. It's going to be called Rehabilitation for Gangsters. Mm. That's what it's going to be called.
And so people can take it how they take it.
Well, I mean, you know, only the general is going to understand. So I'm going to keep that for my mixtapes, my miniseries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only the general is going to understand. Because they got generals out here that go unnoticed every day.
And there's people who think that they're generals, and they're not.
I don't know. I don't get into it no more. I used to.
Yeah.
I used to be like, man, dude, a rat. I don't listen to his music. He a rat. He aid and assisted law enforcement. I don't do that no more. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me because I'm living my journey. I just know one thing. Hey, based off your conduct and your code of conduct, I wouldn't have did nothing gangster with you anyway. Because you don't even know how to approach. You don't even know a general when you see one. So you're not being disrespectful. You just don't. You don't know. Mm. It's like a lamb that was played with lion cubs his whole life. And then he walk up to a real lion thinking it's playtime. Nah, it's man time. He don't know this.
Yeah.
He been playing. You know, you got people in the life that lived in a very sheltered reality. So the things that are normal to me may wow people. So, I mean, like I say, it's beautiful. I just, I look at everything from an, from the standpoint and the perspective of an observationalist now. Mm. It's nature. It's natural.
Mm. I know that, I feel like Drika reads a lot, has read a lot at least.
She's smart.
Yeah. But I mean, but also like there, she's on record as saying like different books that she's read. Do you read a lot of books, or have you read a lot of books?
Not so much, but I do a lot of my reading when I'm in, when I'm in college. Every time I go to college, I do a lot of reading up there.
Yeah.
Do you have things that you've never said on records that you want to put into music?
I don't know. I just said a lot of shit that I never said just now. It's just, it was, hey, it's the course of the, it's the course of the relationship. It's just how it's going right now.
Well, so what's the last city that's inspired something that you were like, oh, I pulled that out and I haven't thought about that in, man, a long time?
It don't come like that. It comes in the moments that I'm allowing myself to be reflective.
Well, and yoga is very important to you now, right?
No. it's respected. It's highly respected. It's not important because I don't have to do it every day. Mm. But I do it because it's respected.
Yeah. Understood. You used to think it was for pussies.
Pussies.
Yeah, yeah.
My cellie, he a real monster. I'm talking about a gangster. I'm talking about, let's go do yoga, man. You go do yoga. I'm not going to do no fucking yoga. Hey, man, I'm telling you.
But what is it? What is it? What's the respect that yoga gives to you now?
You got to be a gangster.
It doesn't bring you peace or like...
Yeah, because I've seen some like Upper East Side moms doing yoga and I don't think that they're...
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. Like, when the body is in discomfort, the mind is at ease. The mind and the spirit and the heart is at ease when the body is at discomfort. You know, it's so it's a beautiful
thing.
I sort
of know. I'll say this. I'm always uncomfortable.
In what way? In what way?
Like my body, my mind, all of it. I feel like I'm like the old you, and it's part of the new you.
I'm still like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm dealing with it the best I can.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I'm still like that. But it's so counterproductive to go against it. Man, they gonna stack the deck on me. They gonna stack that bitch on me. It's gonna come down like a ton of bricks. You know, that's like, I even hate to talk about this. That's like the incident that happened. Man, the dude Harvey, he ain't say, man, you was a great man and all that. He waited and said something and then brought that shit up and then said I was a great guy. You know, you had to tell me, now they gonna stack the deck on me. Then I'm already a fucking nigga, so I mean, they gonna stack the deck on me. I understand that. So, this helps me understand that everybody doesn't have the same understanding as me. Because life, hey, reality is the scariest thing. Because it's never going to go how you think it's going
to
go.
How much are you able to understand anybody who approaches you these days? Like strangers or business people alike? Like if they're having a bad day, are you able to accept? You're just like, well, maybe they're going through something.
Me, I'm not going to allow... This is going to be street what I'm going to say. I'm not going to allow a bitch-ass nigga to make me be a bitch-ass nigga. I'm not going to allow because the person at the drive-thru didn't say, good morning, how may I serve you today? I'm going to say it to them, and they're going to laugh. They're going to say, welcome to Chick-fil-A. I'm going to, good morning, how may I serve you today? And I just, like, I'm not going to let you be a, you being a bitch-ass nigga not going to make me a bitch-ass nigga. Like I say, I can't believe I'm telling y'all this. It's like I'm living life for the first time because it's not that I didn't know the world was fucked up. I just didn't want to see. Man, people are fucked up. They stack the deck. They go with popular opinion. They not going to go with me. They going to go with, oh, God, he's so fucking horrible. They okay, cool.
Well, to a certain extent, right? But then there's also, like, you're selling records the same way that Adele is selling records. So, I mean, like, there
are... my baby. I taught her everything she knows.
Oh, yeah? She's very vulnerable.
Yeah. You better ask her who took the training wheels off the bike and was listen, running down the street with her.
When this becomes, like, like James Corden...
Yeah, then we'll ask her.
Yeah, then we'll ask her. When Adele comes over, we will ask her.
That's my baby. Yeah. She know what's up with me.
Yeah.
That song was about me.
So you took
hello from the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You took the training wheels off, and yeah. So you might not be father to all these people out here who are rapping like you, but to Adele,
Hey, in my mind, that's what the fuck it is. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, you want to hear my Adele impression?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. That it I really only perfected it.
What it's like being her.
I hope good.
Well, if I'm around, it's gonna be good.
Yeah,
I'm gonna set the mood.
Mm-hmm.
The energy gonna be fly. It's going to be fly.
Do you have things on your rider when you go to a performance that you need to make your energy feel right?
No, it don't take too much for me.
Mm.
I could do a lot with a little.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing about coming from nothing.
Mm.
I can do a lot with a little.
Was there ever any moment in your life where you were just like, you know, you money started to come into your life
I
early?
I felt a sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I started feeling a sense of entitlement when them people told me I wasn't entitled to make bond. I wasn't entitled to get out of jail. They just had their way with me. They humbled me. I was like, damn, I thought I was somebody.
I imagine every day people say no
you're
to you, right?
You're not special. You're not fucking special. That's what they told me. And I believed it at that time.
Yeah.
Then I had to realize, you know what? Hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch, I'm the most special thing you will ever see in your motherfucking life, bitch. I had to talk to myself and build myself back up. I do that sometimes too, like.
But then there's also that part of you that's like, I'm not special.
I'm not, but I'm the most special thing you gonna ever see. I'm like Socrates. The beginning of understanding is understanding that I know nothing at all. So I'm like Socrates. I'm a real philosopher out here.
Hmm.
I'm humble in the places that I need to be humble because I'm humble because. The future is unforeseen. That's what keeps me humble. But I'm confident in the fact that I know what I've been through. I know what I've conquered. I got the scars to prove that I've earned this position I'm in. That's why I'm humble.
So
I'm like a guru.
Yeah.
You mentioned,
I agree with that.
You mentioned earlier on that you're in a good space with your family and everything. Are you getting to a good place, a better place? Do you feel
my biological family?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the person that you've become over this period of time has helped facilitate that better relationship?
Yeah. I bought my mother a house.
But there's got to be more than that, right?
Yeah, I bought my mother a house and I told her I forgive her.
That's
And she cried.
How do you get to that place where you're able to forgive someone?
You got
to
think. I ain't do it for her. I did it for me because I ain't want to hold on to that. Every time somebody say her name, I don't know. It's like this. Oh, for the people that can't see me, they just listening. I made a weird face. I made like a yuck face. But I just was giving them insight.
Yeah.
But nah, what I was saying was I forgave her for me. I don't never care if you change or if you do change. But I forgave you for me because I don't want to harbor resentment.
Mm.
I just was reading, really, Islam what made me really forgive my mother. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. This guy asked him, how do I get to heaven? He said, be kind to your mother. He said, then what must I do? He said, be kind to your mother. He said, then what must I do? He said, be kind to your mother. He said, then what must I do? He said, be kind to your father. He told him three times.
Mm.
My mother told me, I don't know what Islam is, but I have seen the growth and the change in you, and I respect it. And I was like, cool. And I gave her a big hug, and I told her I forgive. Every time she see me, she cry. Because it's like, I was the one that was supposed to be doing a life sentence. I was the one that was supposed to be in prison. The way I was living, I'm talking about the way I was living was just, I didn't care. And it's certain things, certain aspects I still don't. I don't care what people think about me. I'm not a prisoner of public opinion. I'm going to live my lifestyle. Nah, I've just come to that. Because at one time, I wouldn't switch brands up. I wouldn't switch brands. I wouldn't
wear Adidas and Nikes?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Like, yeah. I was so insecure and self-conscious about what the outside world would say about me. I don't give a flying flippity flip. I swear
you can
I
still curse.
I know. I just like it because it sounds funny. I say that to old white people.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Am I old?
No, like, I was on live one day with this girl and her grandmother, like 70 years old. And I was on live with her, and I told her, Grandma, I don't give a flying flippity flip. Well, I did curse. She was like, no, you can't say that in front of my grandma. I say, please forgive me, because my grandmother let me curse. I know, but you just said some words that was, I say, please forgive me. Please, God, please. I say, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. But I'm not sorry, because my grandmother let me curse. And then later, just really took a liking to me on live. And I told her, Grandma, because I just don't give a flying flippity flip. I just say that to be respectful, like, yeah, to like old people, older people.
Again, but, not us.
Yeah.
Nah, and I don't want to say old people, but people that may have grew up in a sheltered environment. Because, see, old black people, they don't get no fuck what you say. Long as you say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, they don't give a fuck. But, like, older people, like older white people, you know, they grew up sheltered. You don't say this, you don't say that. Okay, cool. Look, if I'm engaging with you, I play by your rules. Because you're dealing with a dealer. You're dealing with a dealer, so we can deal. So I just say flying flippity flip. And it still has the same, I can give a fuck list. Yeah. I can give a flying flippity flip.
By the way, I hope that if we get any headlines from this, I hope that's the headline. I hope that that's the thing that, like, Shade Room runs with.
I don't give a flying flippity flip.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I mean, I didn't want to be disrespectful because I don't want to hurt people anymore. Like, the old me would have told her grandma, hey, bitch, fuck you, suck my dick. I don't care.
A little less.
No, I'd have said it just like that.
No, I mean, a little less disrespectful. Yeah.
I'd have told her, hey, bitch, fuck you. And if you don't like it, here's my address. I'll leave the door open for you. Yeah.
Now you just say that for the drive-thru.
I'd have said that. And I me being respectful towards somebody else, grandma, that was like a sign of growth for me. I patted myself on the back for that because the conversation still went well. She a devout Christian, so she say. And I told her, I've been to churches before, you know, when Christmas time come around, they buy all the other kids toys. They bought me a suit and told me sit in the front. I was a devil. She was like, what? I said, yeah. Then they told me, you're going to hell. And she laughed and thought it was funny. She was like, well, maybe not at my church. I said, I can't understand what they be saying. And then she was like, and we just had a great conversation. Yeah. I think it's funny going sit in there. I mean, I like that shit. I say, grandma, as soon as I walk in the door, they judge me. They get to pointing fingers, talking about I smell like weed. She said, well, do you? I said, yeah, but the pastor told me, come as I am. That's how I came. And she was laughing. She thought it was funny, but I was being dead serious. Like, this really what happens to me everywhere I go. And then she was like, and she fucked with me. Like, I don't even know the lady's name. But she fucked with me, though. And so that's, I was just giving you an example of why I use flying flippity flip, because if I'm disrespectful and then you challenge me, well, I'm going to accept the challenge.
Yeah.
Come on. It's off to the races now, buddy. Start the stupid. We're going. You remember that movie, Let's Go to Jail, or Who Wants to Go to Jail?
Yeah.
Remember, he was like, so what do we do all day? And dude was like, we're doing it. We're riding the thick of the action. Oh, we're going to be riding the thick of the action. So I know that to keep myself from being in a situation where I have to accept the challenge and apply that full court press, hey, why not just go ahead and be respectful?
Did you ever have to do media training?
Nope. For what? Well, Chelsea, I say fucked up shit all the time. Like when I say about the Chloe shit, I ain't say nothing fucked up.
I don't think that was bad.
That was my confidence.
Yeah.
I was feeling myself. Yeah. I ain't no nutter nigga gonna walk up to them. I'ma walk up, you look beautiful, what's up? And walk off. Because I got that revenge body now. So I looked at Chelsea. She probably was like, oh, God. How can we spin this? I don't be giving a damn, you know? I don't give a flying flippity flip. Yeah. Everybody's going to say bad shit about me. I don't care.
We agreed with Drika that Drika should be on the podcast. So I want to get your cosign.
Of course.
All right.
Well, no.
Great.
She amazing.
Yeah,
she amazing. Like, Like, I tell you, like, with my headphones, I had forgot my headphones, right? And I was at the hotel. I was like, man, bro, you pack my headphones? He was like, no, I ain't pack your headphones. She was like, well, I had this pair because I figured you might need them.
The best.
That's just how she is. Yeah. She's just an amazing person. She's just an amazing person.
But so much of your career was helped out by her.
Yeah. This journey has been for the both of us. I've made her better, and she's made me better. So it was equal. equal partisans.
Yeah.
But I think she's a little more influential than I was on her. Because every time we have an argument, it was about me not realizing my worth and my value and things of that nature. Mm. Now I'm having fun. I'm thugging now. I'm having fun with it. I'm thugging with it. And it's flat. Like, I don't walk in a restaurant with my hat turned. I'm not trying to fit in. If somebody tell me, sir, you can't be in here like that, okay, I'll go eat somewhere else. Mm. You don't deserve my energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, now I don't have a problem getting in compliance. But what is etiquette? Like, who wrote the rule book mm-hmm. for etiquette?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I might tip you better than the guy wearing a suit. He might be a fucking cheapskate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna come in there like this. I'm fly, bitch. I'm me. I'm sorry. I walk a little crooked. I get my dick heavy. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Oh, man.
I got a lot of gold teeth. I'm like Slick Rick.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm talking real slick so the charters don't stick. What's up?
Well, Kevin, we are beyond thrilled that you came by. Thank you for your great energy. Thank you for taking us on this journey here.
Off you.
No, we appreciate it.
There's going to be somebody that's probably going to piss me the fuck off, and I'm going to be, oh, no, sir. And then I'm going to just get real pussy like, no, I'm just, no, I don't want to. like academics.
Yeah.
I did an interview with him. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to him. He's a great guy. But he had talked about me so bad. Like, always picking on little old me. Like, what have I ever fucking done you? I wouldn't even know you exist unless you always talking about me, bitch. But I didn't go in there with that attitude. I went in there with the understanding that, you know what? I used to be just like you. I was hurt, so I used to hurt people.
Mm.
I was a fat slob, so I used to make it be uncool to be in shape. I used to make it be uncool to be healthy. I used to make it uncool to be fly. Because I was felt fucked up about myself. So I used to put all of my, deflect all of my insecurities and things that I feel like was wrong with me onto others. So you know what? I'm going to go in there real, real humble with him. You heard me? And I'm going to challenge myself to not fuck over him.
Mm.
I'm going to embrace him with love. And I really embraced him, and I really saw one thing. You really crying for help on the inside, and you just need a release. Now, me and that dude be texting in the DM. He say he ready to start working out. I say, it starts with you, baby. Wow. And I believe in him. I believe he can do it. Wow. But sometimes it just takes somebody that you saw that was fucked up tell you that it's possible.
Mm.
I ain't never had surgery, but I'm surgical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, yo, Lord.
Man, this has been amazing, and we appreciate you.
I'm an amazing guy.
And you are. And I'm so glad you shared your journey with us from flipping work to not giving a flippity-flip.
Yeah. I never said I was social with it. I was social with it. Like Jim Jones.
Yeah. Yo, thanks so much, Kevin.
Thanks
everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real Jeff. If you want to find out more about us, I'm Eric with the curly hair. You're Jeff with the glasses. Together, we are It's The Real, no apostrophe, no space. If you want to find out more about this podcast you're listening to right now, it's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If people want to find out more about what's going on with us, Jeff, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com. We've got stuff on our website. You should go click on all of it.
Yeah, I agree. Get those clicks in.
When people ask me if I'm a really good salesman, I feel like I'm really putting my all in. I say, just go to our website, click on some stuff.
I think so.
Maybe at one point you'll put in your credit card information and buy a couple t-shirts.
There you go.
If you buy 100 t-shirts, we'll send you a free t-shirt.
That is actually true.
That is our guarantee.
Buy 100 t-shirts, get that 101st free.
Wow. What a deal.
I know.
What a steal, even.
We should run with that, Jeff. We should make that a thing.
Buy 100 t-shirts, get 100 free.
Yeah.
All right. You can also go and listen to all of our old episodes and all of our new ones. Go to any streaming platform.
Yeah.
Spotify, Google, Apple, the big companies, even the small ones.
The one you're listening to right now, it's very simple. All the episodes are there. They're free. Go listen to them. Get some great inspiration. Get some gems. Enjoy it. Waste some time with us. They're there.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at itsthereal.com.
There's so much you can do at itsthereal.com. Go click away.
Click away. Also, we are on all social media platforms, but especially
Twitter at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real. All the other ones don't matter.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Jeff, I put out a call this morning. I said, hey, Internet, if you want a shout out on this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real, just guess who is on the podcast tonight. We didn't announce that Kevin Gates was a guest.
No.
We said, give us your best guess. And a bunch of people replied. Jeff, who are we shouting out today?
Well, first of all, yes, a bunch of people replied. Every single one of them is wrong.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Well, but who did they think was going to be on? And partly I think people wanted these people to be on. So who do people want and hope that we will get on in the future?
Okay, well, it should be said, a lot of people guessed people who were rejected from Rolling Loud, which we don't record Monday morning.
No.
We do put this out Monday night, but we're not like doing this live.
Also, just heads up, we're not waiting outside of Citi Field just hoping that someone will cross our path and we can just pick them out and say, hey, let's go on a car ride and
get
record,
in.
Record an episode.
Get in, we're going recording.
Yeah.
Alright, Albert Cowles, our guy from, I believe, London?
Yeah, good pronunciation.
Yeah. Mondin?
Mondin.
He asked for Casanova. Not gonna happen this week. We have had fun, though.
Yes, go check that episode out.
Pragmatic, who was just listening to a couple episodes on Instagram, asked for the baby, hopefully coming up.
Yes.
Big Mind Being, said the doorman.
No. No, he was probably talking about the old building's doorman.
Oh, no, I know.
Because we had some great doormen with great personalities, this new building.
New building, lousy.
No personality.
No.
Also, they don't do their job. That's the biggest problem. It's not like, hey, I need you to say hi to me every time or give me a story or engage me in conversation.
Yeah. There's two doormen. One of them is never here, even though he's supposed to be here. But enough about that.
Yeah.
They're not getting any shit
out of the pocket.
Gucci on Site, who is Nav's biggest fan.
Yeah.
Asked for Nav.
Guess what?
Not happening.
It wasn't Nav.
JW the Dude asked for Wale. The Don Fuji asked for Rob Van Dam.
I think
the guy
that's
from MTV.
No, I think that's
who's Rob Van Dam?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I thought it was Rob Van Dam.
Vanilla Ice.
So never mind. I was wrong.
All right.
But Rob Van Dam's not on the phone.
J.O. asked for St. John. I believe that St. John is on
the Breakfast Club
this
morning. Go check that out.
Likes Liking 2018. Ray
that's
Rodriguez.
Ray.
Smiles. No, South Star. Wait, Smiles. On second thought, definitely South Star.
Guess what?
We're not getting Smiles without South Star.
Yeah.
Not happening. No Ray Jones asked for DJ Head or Pharrell.
Neither of them are on the podcast this week.
Yeah, you want to know what? We had to turn down Pharrell this week.
Yep.
After he was doing DQ. T-Money Singh asked for T-Money from Cleveland, Trinidad James Part 2, maybe technically Lyric Poetic or Ebony K. Williams.
That was incorrect for this week.
Yes. Mr. Moe said Joe Budden.
Not this week.
Pizza 91, Lil Nas X, who actually seems like he has a great sense of humor. I would say so.
Guys, not this week.
Robbie Digital, our guy.
Yes.
With the feats.
Yeah.
S for Wale.
Not this week.
Sterling Giles, S for Wale.
Not this week.
Bunch of people who asked for Joe Budden, Kane, Isaiah Rashad, that's Queen's Greatest 87, Schoolboy Q, Danny Brown, Juicy J, another Danny Brown, Nicholas Levine asked for anyone from Brazil,
that's coming up,
okay, hasn't been scheduled yet,
yeah, but
it is coming up,
just know,
a bunch of people are asking for Trinidad James Part 2, he has not stopped by this week,
no, but Part 2 will happen,
yeah, Through the Crate asked for Gucci Mane,
not this week.
Greg YRN did Action Bronson. Action Bronson was on the podcast. Right?
And will be on again, hopefully soon.
Yes. Colin Dubose said Mr. Cameron.
Has not been on the podcast yet, but let's hold out hope, shall we?
I will hold out hope.
Okay.
King Gage, who is so verified.
Yes.
Asked for Lenny S, who has been on the podcast. He's
been on twice.
Yeah. And I would say that we've gotten lots of them, but I would not say he's been on the podcast this week.
He is not.
As Kevin Gates is. This is at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, well, thanks for all your guesses, guys, and we appreciate you.
Yeah.
And let's see. Who's on next week, Jeff?
Well, now a bunch of people are still guessing.
Jeff, who's on next week?
Who's on next week?
We don't know. Actually, we do know, but we have a few different options. We can pick one person or we can pick two people. What should it be? Should it be one person or should it be two people?
Should it be one person or should it be two people?
That's the question, guys.
It's like we did an episode with two people,
yeah.
But we have one that's coming up with one person.
Yeah, guys. We'll figure it out.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, guys. As always, not for real, for real. We'll see you guys next week.